Let us pray. Lord, your word is our salt. Without it, we lose our being, our joy, and our ability to endure and to praise you. Use me, O Lord, that hearts and minds listen and hear and follow your holy word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus said on one occasion, "Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." Now, I doubt that many of us here find ourselves very offensive to other folks because of our religion. Indeed, although mainline Christianity is struggling these days in our society, it is, at least for now, the norm to be a Christian in our world. We have gained the favor of men, but my question to you today is, have we lost our flavor? That's in our text for today. Jesus said, "Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again?" In other words, if salt loses its flavor, what good is it? It is just thrown away. That is our text for today. Have salt among yourselves and be at peace with each other, Jesus goes on to say. He was talking to his disciples, and he was saying to them, paying them a very high compliment when he called them salt. There was an ancient king one time who asked his oldest daughter, "How much do you love me?" And she said, "I love you more than all the gold in the world." And he asked his next daughter, "How much do you love me?" "I love you more than all the salt in the world." And he asked his youngest daughter, "How much do you love me?" And she said, "I love you more than salt." And he was very disgruntled about that. Well, the cook heard this conversation, so she fixed a very special feast that night. All of his favorite dishes that he always loved. The only difference was she didn't put any salt in anything for his meal. And he sat down to eat, and it was so... Have you ever eaten anything that you expect to be salted and it's not? He just couldn't even eat his favorite dishes. And he understood then that his youngest daughter had truly paid him the greatest compliment, because he understood then the value of salt. Salt was very valuable in the ancient world. It was a currency in some countries, even into the modern times. There's a story of Italians breaking into Ethiopia and running out through the country, and they ran into a bank and opened up the vault, and guess what was in there? Blocks and blocks of salt. There was other currency, but they had put their salt in the vault because they realized just how valuable it was, and a fairly scarce commodity as well. Jesus said, "What good is salt if it has lost its flavor, if it no longer seasons food?" You don't put salt on food except for any reason other than to either preserve it or to give it some flavor, some taste. There's no particular food value in salt. As a matter of fact, we're told that too much salt can do us harm. Jesus is saying to his followers those 2,000 plus years ago, and those of us today, what good is it to be a follower of mine if there is nothing distinctive about your life? What and where is our salt? He is basically saying, by following me, you make no real contribution to the world if there's no redemptive love in your life. What's the use of calling yourself a disciple if you have not flavor, if you don't have love, if your life doesn't season lives for others? In the first place, what is our value if our values are no better than our neighbors? What good are we? We're just like anybody else. In this day and age, there's a blurring of what it is to be a Christian. I believe that our greatest calling is to love. And in the loving, we also become peacemakers. That is our calling, my friends, to be loving and to be peacemakers. There's a sign that was on a church door recently that said, "The Ten Commandments are not multiple choice." But multiple choice is what some people prefer to make of their faith. Now, if you think I'm overstating the case, read the other verses in here. If your hand offends you, cut it off. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. It's better to go into heaven with one eye and one hand than into hell with both hands and both eyes intact. Now, I don't think Jesus is telling us that literally, but I think he is trying to tell us how important it is that we recognize our need to pluck out those things in our lives and in our hearts that are not loving, that do not lead to peacemaking. I think that's what his message is. It's not easy to be a disciple. There are sacrifices that are made, and it can be hard. He taught the disciples that righteousness to which he calls them is righteousness that exceeds that of the Pharisees, that of other people. And what he taught his disciples 2,000 plus years ago, he teaches us today. Winston Churchill once said that the flame of Christian ethics is still our highest guide. And I wonder if he would say that today. We've gained favor, but many have lost our flavor. One pastor tells a story about his father who participated in a barn raising. A farmer's barn had burned down. So all the community joined together to build this barn back. And they took the first rafter after they had cut it, and they laid it down and took a pencil and traced around it to determine the size of the next one. And when they cut that one, they used it to draw a pencil around it and determine the size of the third one. And then the fourth was based upon that, and the fifth upon the fourth, and so on. And about lunchtime, they looked up and they realized that there was something wrong. The rafters weren't going in a straight line. They were kind of going up a little and out a little bit more. They had not considered that distance, tiny distance though it may have been, of a pencil line. They had started with one standard, and every time they repeated it for the next rafter, they varied that standard by a little bit more, such that it was throwing the whole barn askew. Is that what our lives are like? We vary a little bit from the standard God sets, and pretty soon we realize that instead of being here, we're way over here, or way over there, left or right, I don't care which way you want to go, but you're not in the center. You've heard me talk about Chuck Swindoll quite often. He tells a story about a woman who went to lunch with some friends. There were about 8 or 9 women who had joined a French class together, and they went out to lunch after their class. And one of them, just sort of out of the blue, asked of all the others, "How many of you have been faithful in your marriage?" And one woman raised her hand. Well, this other woman goes home and tells her husband about it, and he starts to have a fit, and she said, no, I've been faithful to you. And he says, "Well, why didn't you raise your hand?" And she said, "Because I was embarrassed." Embarrassed to admit to something good. Embarrassed to admit her standards. Ashamed of being faithful. Maybe. Maybe not. That is for you to decide about yourself. Now, I don't believe, and hear me clearly, I do not believe that this part of the body of Christ here at Ascension Lutheran has been sliding off of the mark. But I think our society has been deviating from the standard God has given us, from the standard to love. The standard to be peacemakers. That was and still is our calling. What value is our faith if it leads us to be spiteful and hateful and degrading of people of different faiths, of different colors, or different languages, or just plain different beliefs? Our faith isn't very strong if we vary how we treat people on the circumstances. I read somewhere that a new Guinness record for the shortest sermon ever delivered has been set. An Episcopal priest gets up from his chair and walks up to the pulpit, reads his scripture, and stands up there, takes a deep breath, and says, "Love," and goes and sits down. Now, I'm sure many of you would really like it if I said a sermon that short sometime, but don't count on it. We always used to say my dad kissed the Blarney Stone because all of us have the gift of gab. But love, that's really what it is all about. And that, in a nutshell, describes what our faith should be, what our lives need to be. Dr. E.V. Hill was a very beloved pastor who served in a church in the Watts area of Los Angeles during the rioting of the 60s. And he did a very dangerous thing. He got in the pulpit and he preached and denounce the rioters and those who were destroying the merchandise of merchants. And as the rioting got worse, his sermons got stronger. And he answered the phone one night and was kind of quiet. And his wife, when he hung up, said, "What was that all about?" And he said, "Oh, nothing." Well, she pestered him, as only wives can do, as you men know. "What was it? What was it?" And finally he gave in and told her. "It was someone saying that they have decided to bomb my car with me in it." And they spent a lot of time that night before they went to sleep trying to figure how they could protect their car so someone wouldn't come along and wire it up to explode when the ignition was turned on or it hit 20 or whatever they were thinking about doing. And they couldn't think of any way. So they said their prayers and went to sleep. And the next morning, the pastor wakes up, gets ready, goes downstairs, looks around the kitchen, and his wife isn't there. And he looks out the window, and the car isn't there either. And he thinks, oh no, she's driven the car off and it's exploded. What has happened? And then he sees a car coming around the corner and she pulls into the driveway behind the wheel of the car. And he realizes she had gotten up early to take their car out for a little drive to make sure that when he got in it and drove it, it would not explode. And he said he never again asked her if she really loved him. She had demonstrated to him the depth of her love by going out and risking her own life. The world is filled with the need for concrete demonstrations of Christian faith and Christian love. One pastor was said to love little children, and when he came home one day and saw some children playing in the freshly poured sidewalk up to his front door, he threw a gasket and one of the neighbors crawled over the fence. I thought you liked children. And he said, well, I do like children in the abstract, but not in my concrete. Concrete demonstrations of our love is what the world seeks. When we enter God's realm, it's not going to be the big things that are remembered. He was president of a bank, or she was the first woman senator from her state. It's going to be the little things. The things that we've forgotten. Oh, he mowed my lawn when I was sick. Oh, she took care of my child when I had to go to the market. They sent me flowers when I needed them the most. Ah, she washed and folded my laundry. The little things that people will remember that we do for them. The world needs to see our love in action, even if that is just sending a simple card. What value is our love if it is not strong for one another and for the world? I never cease thrilling at the heart of Abraham Lincoln. Some women came to see him after a battle in which their cousin, General Wallace, had been involved. They had seen the name Wallace on the casualty list, and they were concerned whether or not he had been injured. And Lincoln told them, no, General Wallace is just fine. He wasn't injured. That's not his name on the list. And they said, oh, I'm so glad that that name Wallace isn't our Wallace. And Lincoln looked at the ladies and said, but he was someone's Wallace, wasn't he? Hearts ache, and we may not even know it. So it's best we tread lightly with love and with peace. And finally, what value is our Christian faith if it stays in the salt shaker? We're sitting in our own salt shaker this morning. And what we are called to do is take the love that God has put in our hearts. You've seen me point at those doors before. Take this love and take it out there. It's wonderful that we share God's love with each other. We lift each other up. We encourage each other. When our spirits are down, we can bring a smile and bring an assurance, I am loved. But that's where it's needed most, out in that world. We're called to be salt, we've been called to be leaven, and we're called to be light. And if you notice, all three of those things penetrate. Salt penetrates meat, leaven penetrates the loaf, and light penetrates the darkness. And that's what we're called to be, penetrators. Go out and make a mark, poke a hole in that world, and stick ourselves in it. where we can share God's love and be peacemakers. For that is what we are called to do. And if we can take our salt out that door, then we never have to worry that the salt's going to sit in the shaker 24/7. We will make a difference in the world, literally for God's sake. In whose name we pray. Amen.